Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do your Vanderbilt Commodores, should they just give them a W in conference play for a one-point loss, Brad? That's the discussion this morning.
Yeah, I think that's only fair. It's on the road in South Carolina. You know, that was a doozy. I think you can put them at 13th in the SEC now.
Got it. Fair point. All right, real quick before we get to the Steelers, right move, wrong move with the quarterback sneak last night with Allen. Should he just kick the field goal and try to traverse into overtime, or is that the right move to play for the win?
No, I like that move. I mean, your defense has not really gotten a stop all night. You know, you're down there. You get that first down, and it's pretty much ball game. You know, you're going to score a touchdown with first and goal from the, 2-yard line with Josh Allen. I think it was the right decision. I know, obviously, we're obviously sitting on our couch not playing in the game, but I did find it weird. If you look at the bird's-eye view angle, I mean, there's clearly more guys to Josh Allen's left, including Jeffrey Simmons, who made the play, than to his right. So I don't know why he didn't run to his right. But the play call itself, I was more than fine with.
In general, Brad, is there a non-quarterback that can take over a game at least? And I'm sure you have a stat for this because PFF, you guys have stats for everything. Is there a non-quarterback that can take over a game the way Derrick Henry did last night?
On offense, you know, it's tough because on offense, you know, when a receiver does it, which does happen, in theory, you need the quarterback to get them the ball. But yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry is the most valuable running back in football right now. He was first in our wins above replacement metric last year, which is impressive because, you know, that is a metric where each facet is weighted. And so receiving, like a Christian McCaffrey, would in theory have a higher likelihood of being our top guy because he can receive and run. But Derrick Henry is just an absolute freak at this point.
Brad, where do you, I would say, draw the line? That's kind of a bad pun sort of kind of thing. But on fourth down conversions, you know, what goes into the whole decision, at least from your standpoint, from an analytical standpoint, on position on the field, fourth and the distance, and all of that stuff?
Yeah, so I would say there's obviously a million different little contextual things that go into it, but I would say one component that gets underrated, and I actually think it applies in the Cowboys-Patriots game as well, is who are you going up against? I mean, what is the opposing offense? How do you stop them that night? But also, just are they a proficient offense in general? And I think we underestimate it. In today's football, if you need to get 30 yards or so to get in field goal range with a Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys, I almost expect that to happen more so than not. So I think that's a huge variable. But also last night as well, something that I think goes underrated is that'll go down as the Bills going for it on a fourth and one. But, I mean, that was a fourth from like 8 inches. So you have to look at every specific detail as well. It's definitely not some very simple kind of, you know, binary decision. There's a million different variables that go into it that you have to consider.
Follow us. We're on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, joins us here on the Fan Morning Show. 3-3 right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are. They've got the bye week, then come back with Cleveland. Is this team's prospects moving forward change at all with one win for you?
You know, they have exceeded my expectations personally. I have to say that. And I get the Seattle Seahawks were down Geno Smith and don't have a phenomenal roster otherwise. But I honestly thought Geno Smith looked pretty good. And the Steelers battled, and that defense looked like the defense that we've discussed where, you know, that can kind of just take over games and win games when they need to. But look, it all comes down to this offensive line as well. I thought they played well. Seattle, again, not really much of a pass rush, especially, you know, they lose Darrell Taylor to a scary injury in that game, and he's probably their best pass rusher. But if the offensive line can hold up like that and they can move the ball, you know, with some consistency, some rhythm, and the defense with, you know, Watt and Hayward just absolute animals every week, they can sneak into this AFC playoff picture, which I think, you know, me saying that out loud, based on what I saw preseason, I'll admit, you know, it, for me, is a bit crazy to think.
Is it a run-first offense they have here in Pittsburgh now, Brad, or is it just a Najee Harris-first offense?
I do think it's a run-first offense. You know, I think you could call it a Najee Harris offense. So I do think more and more we're going to see just them stressing defenses out laterally. And I think the premier running offenses in this league, you watch a Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay, and they have some guy running jet motion or just doing something before the snap on seemingly every play. And I think we're seeing more and more of that in Pittsburgh, the creativity, the ability to get bodies and to move, and linebackers and safeties to get out of space or to be chasing a decoy and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, yes, Najee Harris is going to get his, you know, 15, 20 carries a game, and he should. I mean, he is currently the engine of this offense.
You know, if Cam Hayward gets overshadowed by T.J. Watt, which for the Steelers defense obviously is a really good thing, and sometimes we think that Hayward may not get the credit that he should get. I would imagine with you guys, though, that he gets plenty of it.
He gets all the credit in the world. He is still, throughout, you know, the first 6 weeks, our top-graded interior defender. Hit a 90 grade in this game this past weekend, which is, you know, I want to say his third or fourth of the season already, and that's an elite grade and not easy to accomplish. Yeah, no, he is not getting overshadowed one iota with PFF. He's on a mission. I mean, for him to do this at this age, when they handed out that extension, you know, $16-plus million per year on a four-year deal for a guy who was, I want to say, you know, 32 when he signed it, and there's no reason to think that he can't keep playing like this throughout, well, you know, the next couple of years of the deal. He's an exceptional player.
Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, joining us here, Fan Morning Show. All right, this will take maybe an abacus or at least some sort of flow chart or something. And you know all about all those things and graphics and things. Is there some sort of quantification to where, all right, T.J. Watt does this over the course of 5-6 years, and he validates the worth of the contract? Like, does he have to have X amount of tackles, X amount of awards, that he needs to lead the team to this? Like, what do we say where, yes, it was worth the contract? Is there a hard line there? Because he looked like the other night, right? Like, okay, it's overtime, and he made all the plays.
Right. No, yeah. It's a phenomenal question, because I think these are things that we get into when you look at trades and contracts and all this stuff. And it's like, what benchmark can we use to say, okay, it was worth it to pay this and all that. And I think it's tough to put team stuff on it. I mean, for example, I'm from Chicago, and Khalil Mack has been as good as you could ask any player to be, but there's a decent chance the Bears win zero playoff games with Khalil Mack. And so for me to say, oh, the trade sunk and Khalil Mack didn't live up to the hype and all that, it's not fair. If the guy's phenomenal for 4 years, but the Bears and the team just can't win any playoff games. And so I think what you said there is key, is that you need to have a couple big moments a year, and I know this is anecdotal and kind of subjective, but you need to have a couple moments a year, like the overtime period where you force that fumble on Geno Smith, where you are making game-defining and game-impacting plays on a consistent basis, no matter the opposition, the tackle you're going up against, all that stuff. You need to be a game wrecker, and he has that ability, and like you said, he's already done it once this year, and yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. You can't put wins on him or stuff like that. He just needs to be T.J. Watt.
Brad Spielberger, PFF, with us every Tuesday at 8 o'clock here on the Fan Morning Show. Let me go back to Cam Hayward for a second, because we actually talked about it. Colin actually brought it up last week, and then Chris Collinsworth mentioned it on the broadcast Sunday night. Cam Hayward, a Hall of Famer. What does Brad Spielberger say to that?
Yes, I saw you mention that, and it's a phenomenal question. I mean, it's tough, because especially when you get into these trench positions where there's maybe some less stats to go off of, and it's more about, like, truly watching the tape and just appreciating the player for what he can do and the impact he can make on a down-by-down basis. But I put him in. I personally think there's no reason not to. At this point now, with the longevity as well, for him to be as good as he was, but now for this long of a period of time, and his Steelers defense has been just phenomenal for the last several years. And if you point to, you know, he being kind of the linchpin and the person that's been the consistent presence, for why this defense obviously has a lot of other talent as well. But, yeah, I would be comfortable putting him in for sure. He's a stud.
I'm feeling all sorts of pressure now after those last two questions. One was great and the other one was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So this one isn't going to be so hot.
Not at all.
Because I go by the eye test a lot. How bad are Pittsburgh's inside linebackers?
Yeah, that was an average question.
There we go. Well, was easy. It's easy to answer, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's fairly easy to answer. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of still struggling to understand. I expect more out of them. Frankly, the corners, the young corners, even Trey Norwood, I thought was really good in replacement, on Sunday. Yeah, I'm not sure, if it's the injury with Devin Bush and if Schober's still figuring out the scheme and the system, but they seemed out of place a couple times. They also seem to, for whatever reason, they bite on play action really hard. I guess, all linebackers do, but I guess when I watched them on Sunday, I felt like I noticed even more than normal. But maybe things that get corrected. Playing linebacker in this league in today's day and age is very, very difficult. We had this conversation about cornerbacks all the time and the defensive pass interference and how tough that is. But what the new offenses are doing is high-lowing linebackers and putting them in so much conflict with the RPOs, with the play action, with even just the routes they're running and where they're putting guys, that you could argue playing off-ball linebacker now has maybe become, one of the hardest positions in football.
Wow, I agree with that.
That was a great answer, though.
Absolutely, it's a phenomenal answer. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, couple more minutes. I watch, the NFL, watch the red zone, watch all the games. Why is it that you just don't see challenge flags anymore, do you think? I mean, they're so down, it seems like.
That's true. There's even a couple scenarios. I thought there was an interesting scenario this weekend. I forget which game it is now, so maybe it's not the best answer, but there was essentially a situation where it was a really close call. It was the end of the game, and I thought you might as well just throw the challenge flag because you might as well just go ahead and take a look at it and just see the situation, give your team time. I don't get it. There was also a scenario in the Bears game. He's now infamous for this in Chicago, but Matt Nagy was going to challenge a play and called a timeout to determine whether or not he wanted to challenge the play. And I think someone in his team needs to explain to him that the way it works is you can just go ahead and throw that challenge flag, and if you're wrong, you'll lose a timeout. So he ended up taking a timeout and then challenging the play. Thankfully, he was correct, so he didn't waste two timeouts. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. I feel like I've seen very few challenge flags this year.
That sounded very Anthony Lynn-ish to me,
right?
That kind of thinking, which brings me around to Brandon Staley and going for it on like 4th and 8 from his own 18-yard line or whatever. They were deep in their own territory. They were down big to Baltimore at that point. But is that the kind of thing that you think is purely analytics-driven? And then why was he still kicking extra points later in the game when he could have gone for two and his kicker wasn't exactly having a great day?
Yeah, no, so that's not analytics-driven at all. You'd be hard-pressed to find any chart in America where a 4th and 8, deep in your own territory, the suggestion is go for it. I think that was more, and he's mentioned this in his press conferences before too, but he looks at all the numbers, he takes everything into consideration, but I also do think he is a believer in, they were getting their ass kicked in that game, and I think he needed something to kind of just shift the momentum, just get light a spark under the team. But like you said, he didn't end up not going for two and trying to shorten the amount of possessions needed to go ahead and make that comeback. But those Baltimore Ravens, man, that was a beatdown.
Yeah, they're good. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus. Brad, we thank you so very much. We'll chat again next week. We appreciate it, and thanks again.
Have a good week.
Thanks,
all
Brad.
Right. So good. Average question for the Jimbo.
I know.
All right, average.
Well, how can I top the ones that you asked?
Way to bring down our work.
I know.
Great question, then Chris gets a phenomenal question.
All right, producer Matt, on the air, real quick. Grab the mic if you would. So I got a message in the break from Charlie. Charlie Batch said he's got something going on. So did we want to – now we have Nick Costos on Thursdays at 9, correct?
Correct.
So Charlie says, if so, can we move from Friday to Thursday? 9 still works. Should I tell him 9:30 for Thursday? It's the bye week. Or should we give Charlie all the way off? We got to have Charlie. We got to have his insight.
No, I want to talk to him, especially in light of the way things
go. So should I tell him Thursday at either 8 or 9:30, right?
Yes, give him 8 or 9:30. Those are the best options.
You like how we're doing logistical inside talk over the air. Well, we want to prepare our listeners, right? And then maybe at 9 o'clock on Friday, get somebody who covers Clemson. That would be good.
Oh,
there we go.
Now we're thinking.
Somebody from Spartanburg, Jimbo. You know a thing or two about Spartanburg.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
It's been a while, but wonderful place.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Spartanburg, South Carolina, The Marshall Tucker Band. That's where they're from, right?
Can't be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. There we go. So I'll reach. Charlie just responds. I'll take 9:30. There
oh
we
my
go.
Gosh.
That was quick.
Hi,
Thanks
Charlie.
Listening. Oh. Yes. 9:30 on Thursday, Charlie Batch. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Pencil him in 9:30 on Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.